Well, good morning and welcome to Mission Village Christian Fellowship. I'm glad you're here to worship together with our church family. It certainly is an adjustment with this live stream worship service. In some ways, I hope we don't get used to it because at some point we will be back together. We will be worshiping as physically together as one body. But I am thankful for the technology that allows us to be together even when we can't be together. And so I am glad that you are here with us this morning. And it is a wonderful day to worship the Lord together. Just a few announcements before we come to the Lord in worship. As always, as I've mentioned every week, you do have an opportunity to continue giving. You can give through our website at missionvillage.church. You can mail a check to the church office. You can drop it off as if you live right around the corner and you're walking your dog. It really is important that we continue as a church family to give during this time, as you're able. I know that this is a difficult time financially for many, but we as a church, we have an opportunity to help our neighbors, to help our community, to help our world, and the gifts that you are giving are already going to really bless a lot of people who are in need. And so I would encourage you, as you're able, just to continue giving. And again, you can do that through our website at missionvillage.church. And also, through our website, we would love just to connect with you. And if you are visiting with us, maybe you joined us for Easter and you're back here this week, we would love to connect with you. I would love to hear from you. You can go to the contact page and just send us a little note. Let me know how I can pray for you. We have a church prayer team that would love to be praying for you. And so again, you can go to that website, missionvillage.church, and let us know how we can be praying for you. And finally, we are going to be starting something new this week, not during our service, but afterwards. One of the things we love here at Mission Village Christian Fellowship is to be able to fellowship together after our service and just enjoy that time together. Well, obviously we can't do that here on this live stream, but we are going to do that on Zoom. And so if you are part of the church email list, you should have gotten an email with the Zoom information. And so at 11 o'clock this morning, come join us on Zoom. And it's just going to be a time to get together, to say hi to each other, catch up, share how we can be praying for each other. This isn't a structured time. It's going to be very similar to our fellowship times when we're here together on Sunday mornings. And so join us on Zoom. If you need the Zoom information and you want to join us in future weeks, you can contact the church office and we'll definitely get that information out to you. And so, and also at the same time, our kids are going to be having their Sunday school, and Miss Leah is sending that Zoom information out to the families as well. So we have lots of opportunities to be together, but right now we're here to worship the Lord. And I understand and I get that it is hard sometimes to focus on the Lord during this time of crisis. But you know, there are two beautiful truths that can enable us to worship the Lord fully and freely this morning. One is that God is in control. God is bigger than coronavirus. God is bigger than this pandemic. He is in control, and He will see us through that. But the other truth is that God loves you. God loves you. God cares for you. It says in 2 Corinthians that God is the God of all comfort. And so not only is God in control over this whole pandemic that we're going through, but God loves you. He cares for you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And so when we put those truths together, we realize that everything is in God's hands and He is walking with us through this time. And so that allows us to fully and freely worship the Lord. And so will you join us as we worship the Lord together? Let's pray as we begin our time of worship. Father, we thank You that You are a God that is in control. And we thank You that You love us. Lord, I pray today that we could worship You with glad and sincere hearts, and that we can bring our needs before You, we can bring our struggles before You, and that we can give You all the glory, honor, and praise that You are due. So we give You this time, We give you our offering, we give you our musical praise, we give you the message, and we pray that you would be glorified in all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Say the wonders of the risen Christ. calls me home here in the power of Christ. I will stand.
Well, before we come to God's Word this morning, we want to come before the Lord in prayer. I am thankful, and I know that many of you, or all of you, are thankful that we have a God who invites us to bring our needs to Him. God is not some far-off, distant God. He is a God who is near to us and wants to hear from us. And so what a joy that we can bring the needs of this body and the needs that we are going through, that we have, we can bring them to God. And so before we come to God's Word this morning, let's come to before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are God and that You are good and that You are in control. Lord, Your goodness is not diminished in any way because of this pandemic. Your goodness is not diminished in any way because of the pain and the suffering that we have in this world. And Father, it is Your goodness that sustains us and helps us and brings us through this time. So thank You, Lord, that You are in control and that You are working all of this for good. Lord, we don't understand all of this. We don't understand 99.9% of this. We don't understand how You're working in the world right now. But we do know that You know what You're doing. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us to rest in Your sovereignty, knowing that Your hand is guiding all of this for our good and for Your glory. And so we do ask that You would be glorified in the midst of this pandemic. And Father, we also pray that You would just bring healing and relief to those who are suffering from this disease. Lord, we ask that You would just be strengthening those who are in the healthcare industry. We think of those specifically from our church family who are healthcare workers, and we ask that You would just protect them and help them to do their jobs. Thank You so much for their servant heart. Lord, we think of those who are struggling financially because of this pandemic. And we ask that Your gracious provision would just extend to them. Help those who are struggling financially. Thank You that as a church we've been able to help those who are hurting. And Father, thank You for Your lavish, wonderful provision in our lives. Father, we thank You also that You are a God of grace. We thank You that You are a God who loves us so much that even though we rejected You, even though we wanted to go our own way, that You sent Jesus to die for our sin. Father, thank You for that gift of grace. And Lord, we ask for Your forgiveness for the times, especially in these past weeks where we've tried to get through this difficult time on our own strength and our own power instead of turning to You, instead of trusting in You. Lord, help us to fully trust You during this time. And Lord, we think of places in the world that are particularly hard hit, including in our own country. Lord, we think of New York and New Jersey. Would You bring relief to those cities and states? Thank You that You are a gracious God. Thank You for Your provision. Thank You for Your healing hand. And Lord, as we come to Your Word this morning, I pray that we would be strengthened and encouraged through Your Word. Lord, especially during a time like this, Lord, we are thankful that You have spoken Your Word to us and that we can hear Your words every single day just by opening our Bibles. And so, Lord, I pray now that as we study Your Word together, that You would speak to our hearts and draw us closer to Yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, for the past couple of weeks, we have been bouncing around in different passages. Part of that was as the coronavirus pandemic became more of a reality, we wanted to really look at scriptures that could encourage us as we process through in real time what was going on. And then we got into Holy Week and Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday last Sunday. And I hope that was just a wonderful time. I'm sure it was, just as it was for our family, a very different Easter. But I hope you did have a wonderful Easter Sunday. This week, we're going to continue to talk about how God's Word encourages us and strengthens us during this time of pandemic. But we're going to go back to our sermon series that we had been in before all of this started. We're in a sermon series called Following Jesus, where we are going through the Gospel of Mark. And Mark is a beautiful gospel. It's the shortest of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it is a wonderful way just to see what does it really mean to follow Jesus. And so we're going to pick that back up and really get into what it means to follow Jesus. And I would suggest that as we go through this time of pandemic, as we go through these stay-at-home orders that and all of the news, that following Jesus really is going to be the thing that sustains us and satisfies us the most. And so we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. If you have a Bible with you, you can open it up to Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 30. If you don't have a Bible with you, you can look at it on a phone or just Google it on your phone. But just try to have the words in front of you so you can really see the scripture as we read through this. And the scripture, the passage that we're going to be in this morning is when Jesus feeds the 5,000. This is one of Jesus' most well-known miracles, and it is recorded in multiple Gospels, actually all of the Gospels, in fact. And it is just such a well-known story. But sometimes with a well-known story, we can actually miss the most important take-home message. It's really easy with a well-known story like this to pull some moralistic application out of this. But Mark, in all of the stories that he records about Jesus' life and ministry, he is trying to tell us who Jesus is and what it means for us to follow him. And this story is no different. And so I hope that we can hear this story, and if you've heard this story many times, maybe hear it with fresh ears and a open heart to really hear what's at the core of this story. And so follow along with me as we look at Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. We'll read through it, and then I'll kind of talk us through it, and then we'll get kind of to the meat of this passage. So Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it is already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is God's word. So this is a fascinating story. And let's back up just a little bit so we can understand the context in which we find this story. Earlier on in Mark chapter 6, Jesus had sent his disciples out. And he sent them out to go proclaim the good news about Jesus. And so they do. And they've gone out. And then they come back. And of course, they're tired. They've been putting themselves out there. They come back. And so Jesus says, okay, they report to Jesus all that they did, and Jesus says, okay, come away. Let's go. Let's find a place where we can really just relax and have some downtime. But they don't get that downtime. You know, they take a boat. They're going to a remote, solitary place. But the people want to see Jesus. And they see where Jesus is going, and they run around the side of the Sea of Galilee to go find Jesus. Chances are is that these people were zealots. This part of Galilee was known for having zealots. Zealots were revolutionaries. These were the people who wanted to overthrow the Roman government. They wanted to kick the Romans to the curb. And so in a Messiah, they were not looking for a savior. They were looking for a soldier. They were looking for someone who could just get Rome out. Last week I mentioned that even one of Jesus' disciples was a zealot. Last week I wrongly said Simeon. It was actually Simon the Zealot. And so chances are is that these people were zealots. They're revolutionaries, and they see Jesus and they want Jesus to be this revolutionary leader. So they're chasing him. I mean, they're willing to run to the middle of nowhere as the sun is setting with no food to go follow Jesus. Not the smartest idea, right? But they are just determined to go see Jesus. They're hoping that Jesus is this military ruler that they're longing for. Now, they're very wrong about Jesus. Jesus does not come to conquer. He comes to die for our sin. And so they're wrong about Jesus. But it's interesting that Jesus has compassion on them. It says in verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. In other words, they were like a bunch of people without a leader. They were people who needed leadership. It's interesting that the people who think they have it most together are actually the people who need a leader the most. And Jesus has compassion on them, and so he begins to teach them. So these people need a shepherd. They need a leader. And that becomes clear in this story. But of course, Jesus is teaching them. And I would love to be there for Jesus, one of Jesus' teaching sessions. Wouldn't it have been wonderful to actually hear what Jesus is teaching them? But then, it says in verse 35, it's late in the day, and so the disciples, the very pragmatic ones, are coming and say, Jesus, we're in the middle of nowhere, and there are thousands of people here, and we have no food to feed them, and there's no place for miles, and the closest place is only a 7-Eleven, and they're not going to have really any good stuff, and there's 5,000 men here. And there may have been women and children as well. I believe it's Matthew in his account says women and children as well. And so there could have been up to 10,000 people there. Of course, it doesn't really matter for purposes of our story. There's thousands of people and there's no food. And the disciples are saying, wait a minute, we can't feed these people. So their solution is, let's disperse the crowd, let's send them away, and make them go be on their own. Now, that's not a very loving thing, is it? You know, the disciples are thinking, yeah, they may starve, but at least it's not our problem. Right? We don't want this to be our problem. But Jesus makes it their problem. He says in verse 37, you give them something to eat. See, Jesus knows that this crowd, they are like sheep without a shepherd. They need leadership. They need to be provided for. They need to be cared for. And so Jesus says, you give them something to eat. So we have a crisis on our hands we have thousands of people who are hungry and need to be fed, and Jesus makes it more of a crisis. He said to the disciples, yeah, go do that. Take care of them. Feed them. And the disciples very obviously say, how are we going to do that? Right? To feed all of these people, it would take, they say in verse 37, that would take more than half a year's wages. How are we going to do that? We don't have the bread to do it, and two, we don't have the money to do it. And then Jesus says in verse 38, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. See, it's interesting that Jesus asks them to find out what they have. Because often when we're discontent, often when we're struggling, especially when we go through a pandemic like this, it's easy to focus on what we don't have. And the disciples are focused on what they don't have. They don't have food. And instead of turning to Jesus and trusting Jesus, I mean, they've seen Jesus do miracles, but instead of trusting Jesus, they focus on what they don't have. And we do the same thing, don't we? You know, so many things during this pandemic have been taken away from us. And when we're struggling and discontent and just really having a difficult time, we focus on the things that have been taken away from us instead of focusing on what we have. Now, what do the disciples have in this story? They have 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what they really have is Jesus. You see, even in a crisis, even for us now, when so much has been taken away from us, when our lives are completely different than they were a month and a half ago, we still have Jesus. That has not changed. We still have Jesus. And even if everything was taken away from us, even if we lost everything, we would still have Jesus. Jesus wants them to think about what they have, not what they don't have. So that's the first thing that Jesus does. He says, well, what do you have? Here's the second thing Jesus does. He takes control. He takes charge. And because he really is the answer to this problem. Only Jesus can solve this problem, right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes are not going to work. Even if you give each of the thousands of people a tiny little crumb of bread, I mean, that's obviously not going to do anything. So Jesus is the only answer to this crisis here. And Jesus tells them to sit down on the green grass in verse 39. And that, if you have read through the Gospel of Mark at all, should sound like a weird statement. That Jesus has the people sit down in groups on the green grass. You see, there's a reason that Mark is the shortest gospel, and the reason is that Mark doesn't use 4 words when 2 will do. He's very brief. He's very fast-paced. It keeps going and going and going and going. Actually, the word that shows up the most in this gospel is "and." And then they did this, and then they did this, and then Jesus did this, and then Jesus said that. So it's a very fast pace. So when Mark uses a word like green, a descriptor word, that should cause us to stop and say, why is he doing that? Why is he taking the time to describe the color of the grass? Well, my question for us is, where else do we see a reference to green grass? And we see that reference in the 23rd Psalm. Many of you probably know it well. Many of you probably grew up hearing this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And so Mark, very subtly, very carefully, very deliberately, by talking about the green grass, wants us to think back to Psalm 23 and to go, wait a minute. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Mark wants us to understand that Jesus is the good shepherd of Psalm 23. And you see, one of the beautiful things about Jesus being our shepherd is that that means that we are sheep. Now, that's not exactly a compliment to us. But one of the things that sheep do not need to have peace is they don't need to know what's going on. They don't need to know what's going to happen next. See, a lot of the strife and the confusion and the stress that we are experiencing right now as we go through this coronavirus pandemic is because we don't know what's going to happen next. And we're worried about the financial impact, and we're worried about how this is going to impact our kids' schooling both this year and next year. And we don't know when the stay-at-home orders are going to be lifted, and even when the stay-at-home orders are lifted, what is that going to look like? And we worry about all of that. And then we want to get more information, and so we do more research, and we look at the news, and we scroll through Facebook or other social media, and we try to get more and more and more information. But what that ends up doing is it only makes us more stressed out. But think about sheep. I'm sure you've seen sheep in a field driving on a trip, probably not here in San Diego, but if you go on a road trip, eventually you're going to go by a field and you see sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep nervously scrolling through Facebook? Have you ever seen a sheep worried about the weather? You never see a sheep looking at the sky and goes, you know, it hasn't rained in a long time. And that, I mean, if we get into a drought, that's going to impact the quality of the grass that I'm eating, and then that's going to impact my health. No, you never see a sheep worry about those things. Why? Because that's not the job of a sheep. See, sheep don't have to worry about anything because their job is simply to follow the shepherd. And our job is to follow our shepherd. Our job is not to worry about what's coming next. Our job is not to worry about how things are going to work out. Our job is simply to trust the good shepherd. To trust him, to fully give our lives to him, and to say, you know what? Jesus is going to take care of us. Jesus is going to take care of us. Jesus is our good shepherd. Now, if that was the end of this story, it would be beautiful, wouldn't it? I mean, that would just be a treasure and a jewel of a story here in the Gospel of Mark and in the Scriptures. Jesus is the good shepherd. But the story doesn't end there. The story goes on. What does the shepherd do? What does Jesus do? Well, he provides. He provides. He takes those five loaves and two fishes. He gives thanks, and then he hands them out to the disciples to distribute to the people, and he divides it, and everyone eats. But notice how Jesus distributes all of this and what the result is. There are leftovers. There's leftovers. There are 12 basketfuls of broken bread and fish. There's one for each disciple to take home. Jesus doesn't just provide enough to get by. He overwhelms. And look at verse 42. If you're going to memorize one verse from this story this week, I would encourage you to memorize verse 42. Look at what it says. They all ate and were satisfied. They all ate and were satisfied. Right? It does not say Jesus gave them enough to survive until they got home and they could eat more. It does not say Jesus gave them a little snack to kind of get them over the hump so that they wouldn't die. It says, no, they all ate and were satisfied. Completely satisfied. And so the beautiful truth of this passage is that Jesus is the good shepherd who completely satisfies us. And Jesus does not only satisfy us in terms of physical provision, although Jesus does provide for our needs, but Jesus also satisfies our souls. Jesus is the good shepherd who completely and lavishly satisfies our souls. When we look at this sermon series of following Jesus, why should we follow Jesus? Because He is the one who completely satisfies our souls. He is the one who can lead us through difficult seasons in our lives, and He can do so by providing for us in a way where we are completely satisfied. Even when, and especially when, we're in circumstances that would lead us to be dissatisfied or discontent, such as right now. Jesus is the Good Shepherd who completely satisfies our souls. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. But I think we need to pause here and reflect on this a little bit. What does this mean for us? It's a beautiful truth, right? Jesus is the Good Shepherd who completely satisfies our souls. But how do we take that and apply it? Well, I think there's a encouraging component of this, but also a challenging component of this. The encouraging component of this is that this is good news, right? In the middle of a pandemic, as followers of Jesus, when we have given our lives to Jesus, when we trust in Him for the forgiveness of our sins, we know that we can experience total and complete satisfaction and contentment. And we see this in the Bible when some of God's people are in the worst situation possible. One such circumstance is in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas have been sharing the gospel. They've been telling people the good news about Jesus. And because of it, they end up getting thrown into jail. And next day, they're going to face justice, and they don't know what's going to happen the next day. They could be sentenced to death for all we know. But Paul and Silas are sitting in prison with their fates the very next day completely uncertain. And do you know what they're doing in Acts chapter 16? They're singing and praying to God. Paul and Silas are having a worship service during one of the darkest moments of their lives. Why can they do that? Because they know that Jesus completely satisfies their souls. Their trust and their faith in God, their relationship with God, is so much bigger than the circumstance they find themselves in. Right? No matter how hard life is, and I know life is really hard for so many people right now. And if it's not coronavirus, it's something else. I mean, life was not just an easy and a cakewalk before coronavirus came along. And now we have this on top of all the other stuff that we are dealing with. But no matter what circumstances you're facing right now, you can have such a complete and total satisfaction in Jesus that we can rest and we can be content during times like this. This is really, really, really good news. But that also brings a challenging conviction, doesn't it? Because then we realize that in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of the struggles that life throws at us, that we're not satisfied. We're not content. We find, if we're being honest with ourselves, that we're looking to other people and other things to fill that hole, to satisfy us. We're not looking to Jesus, we're looking to something else. We're looking to other things to help us deal with the bad news and all of the ever-changing social distancing guidelines, the stay-at-home orders. We're looking to something else other than Jesus. And I would imagine that if we're honest, many of our reaction, honest, is that I know that Jesus should satisfy me. I know that Jesus should satisfy me. I want to be like Paul and Silas in that prison, worshiping God in the midst of uncertainty. But I need something more tangible. I need something that I can wrap my hands around. I need something that I can feel. I need that feeling of joy that I get for my volunteer work. I need that feeling of camaraderie I have from the community groups that I'm involved in. I need the thrill that I get from playing sports with my buddies. I need the feel of success when I've solved a problem at work with my coworkers. I need the sense of community just from being with other people. I need the sense of settledness that comes from having consistency in my life. I need those things to feel satisfied, to feel content. For me personally, what I've found is not even the lack of people, it's come for me not having space to myself. Right? During the stay-at-home order, you know, I'm working from home, and you know, everyone's home. The kids are doing school from home, and you know, I'm an introvert. Now, I love people. A lot of people misunderstand what introverts and extroverts are. I love to be with people. I love our church family. But the way that I recharge personally is by having space and time to myself. And I don't have that now during this stay-at-home order. And it's hard. So some people are lamenting that they don't have enough people around. I'm lamenting that I don't have enough quiet time to myself. And I don't know what it is for you that you are reaching out to have that tangible feeling of satisfaction and contentment. But the interesting thing about a pandemic, the interesting thing about what we're going through right now, is that a crisis like this has a way of revealing all the things in our lives that we're looking to and relying on that are not Jesus. Crises have a way of stripping away everything that we trust in that is not God Himself. And so I'd encourage you this week to ask yourself, what am I turning to for contentment? What am I turning to feel satisfied? Now, before we go any deeper, let's just make something clear. We can easily... I get that the things that we turn to are not all bad things. Some of them are, right? And if there are destructive things that we're turning to, then we shouldn't be turning to them. But a lot of the things that we're turning to are very good things. A lot of the things that we turn to for contentment and satisfaction are good gifts that God has given to us. Right? God has given to them for us for our enrichment, for our enjoyment. They help our mental health and help our physical health. So these aren't bad things that we should just completely get rid of. But if we're looking to the gift more than the gift giver, if we find more satisfaction in the gifts than we do in the gift giver, then we're going to run into problems when the gifts are taken away. See, those things that we turn to, whatever it is for you, they're like snacks. Now, I like snacks. I think my whole family likes snacks. But snacks are just that. They're snacks. They will sustain us for a little while, but they ultimately don't fill us. They ultimately don't satisfy. They keep us coming back for more snacks a short time later. And you see, the problem is that we're chasing after these snacks, as good as they are. But Jesus is offering us a feast. This really is a feast here in this passage, and it foreshadows the feast that we will have one day with Jesus when Jesus returns. We're looking at snacks when Jesus offers us something that will deeply and completely satisfy us. And I just want us to hear various scriptures that speak to how the Lord satisfies our souls. In John 6:35, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." We see the satisfaction in the Psalms as well. Psalm 107, verse 9. "For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things." Psalm 22:26, the afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Psalm 16:11, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And then in Matthew 13:44, Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. The only reason you would go and sell all of your possessions to buy one thing is if that one thing was an all-encompassing, soul-satisfying treasure. And my friends, Jesus is that all-encompassing, soul-satisfying treasure. Jesus is not offering us a snack that is going to leave us hungry 30 minutes down the road. He is offering us a feast that will completely satisfy us. He is offering us himself. And if we find ourselves this morning saying, I need something more tangible. I know that Jesus satisfies me, but I need something more tangible, something I can wrap my hands around. If we find that we're not really being satisfied in Jesus, maybe it's because we're not really looking to Jesus to be satisfied. We focus on what we don't have instead of what we do have. Just like the disciples, what we have is Jesus. See, those other things, they can come and go. They can be taken away from us. Jesus cannot be taken away from us. Our soul-satisfying treasure can never be taken away from us. So how can we truly experience this soul-satisfying treasure? Let me suggest two rhythms of life that can help us to experience this. And the two rhythms are word and prayer. God's word and prayer. Through God's word, we hear from God. It is the primary way that God speaks to us. That's why every Sunday, I don't just pontificate on random things. I share God's word. Because this is how God speaks to us. You don't need to hear me, you need to hear God. And God speaks through his word. And then prayer is simply how we talk to God, how we communicate with God, how we pour our hearts out to God. And the reason that having more of God's word in us and prayer, the reason that that cultivates being satisfied in Jesus is that God's word and prayer helps us deepen our relationship with Jesus. Think about it this way. A relationship is much more deep and satisfying than an emotional experience. Right? I could have an emotional experience. I could feel love and have those feelings, those emotional feelings of love. But those are more like snacks. They're not going to sustain. What really sustains us in human relationships is the relationship, is the communication. The deeper the relationship goes, the more satisfied and content we are. And the deeper our relationship goes with Jesus, the more satisfied and content we will be. The deeper we go into God's Word, the more we will see of who He is. We will see how big He is, how He is sovereign, how He is working all things together for good. And the more we get into a rhythm of prayer, the more we will get into the habit of just instinctually talking to God no matter what's going on in our day. I found, even this past week, is that the evenings, full disclosure here, I mean, this has been an up and down week. But the evenings I have gone to bed with the most peace and the most contentment have been the evenings that Joanna and I have been talking about the greatness and goodness and glory of God before bedtime. The deeper we go in our relationship with the Lord, the more satisfied and content we will be during this time of crisis. See, a lot of times we want to know what God is doing, but the more we know God, the less we need to know what God is doing. God is doing a billion things right now, and we will never know 99.9% of them. But if we know God, if we are relating to God and interacting with God throughout our day, we're going to be satisfied and content, even if we don't know what God is up to. An author once described contentment as this. He described it as an inward, gracious, quiet spirit that joyfully rests in God's providence. See, the more we know God, the deeper we relate to God, the more satisfied and content we will be. And that presents us with a wonderful opportunity right now, doesn't it? With a stay-at-home order, we're home. A lot of us have time that we didn't have before. And so this is a wonderful time when we're stuck at home to practice these rhythms of Scripture and prayer, to start in the morning with Scripture and to reflect on the truth of Scripture and to pray to God about that truth, and then to come back in the middle of the day and to reflect on that Scripture, and then to think about it at night before you go to bed and talk to the Lord throughout the day. The more we relate to God, the deeper we go with Jesus, the more satisfied we will be. And so what a beautiful truth we have this morning, that Jesus is our good shepherd who completely satisfies our souls. And if you are struggling with discontent and longing to be satisfied, even during this time of crisis, I would invite you to come and know, truly know, not just believe, but know Jesus, the shepherd who satisfies our souls. Let's pray. Father, in many ways, this miracle that you have performed so many years ago, feeding 5,000, is a deeply convicting message. Because we realize, Father, that we're not turning to you, the one who can turn 5 loaves of bread into a feast. So, Father, we want to ask, as your people, that you would forgive us for turning to snacks. Even really, really good snacks. Even really, really good gifts. But, Father, forgive us for seeking satisfaction from them that can only be found through you. And Father, I pray that as we go through this crisis, as we go through this difficult season of our lives, that you would teach us, just as you taught this crowd, teach us what it means to fully depend on you and to be satisfied deeply in you. Father, teach us what it means to experience this treasure, that all-encompassing, soul-satisfying treasure. Lord, I pray that even in the midst of this crisis, that as followers of Jesus, we would experience sweetness. Because we find peace in you. And we find tangible peace in you. So Lord, forgive us for seeking after snacks when you offer us a feast. And Lord, I pray that when we do get back to our normal lives, whenever that is and whatever that looks like, help us to continue to turn to you for our satisfaction. Help us to turn to you for our sustenance. Help us to continue to turn to you for everything that we need. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd who satisfies our souls. Lord, may you receive all the glory, honor, and praise as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our souls Well, thank you for joining us this morning as we have been worshiping the Lord together. Just a reminder that we will be getting together on Zoom at 11 o'clock, and so I hope that you are able to join us for that. And our kids will be having their Sunday school during that time as well. Let us go into this week remembering that Jesus is our Good Shepherd who can completely satisfy our soul. Let us remember that He is the all-encompassing treasure. And as a benediction, let us remember when we are longing and hungering and thirsting for contentment this week and every week for the rest of our lives, let us remember that as Jesus fed these 5,000 people, they all ate and were satisfied. Amen, and praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Stay home, stay safe, and we'll see you next Sunday.